or dwell in eternity. Father, what a true and wonderful blessing it has been for us to be here this day and for the hour that lies before us, that we can bow our heads before you as we petition thee before thy throne of mercy and grace, as we are so grateful that you call us your children and for all the many blessings that you give us because of it. Father, we certainly are so grateful for the tender hearts that have responded to your powerful word today, for those that are looking for strength and encouragement as they continue to walk the path of righteousness that sometimes is difficult. And we're so grateful as we rejoice with Trevor as he has decided to put on thy son in baptism today. And Father, we're just so grateful for these wonderful blessings that you give unto us and thankful for tender hearts. Father, we pray all those things that we have done this day has only brought glory and honor unto thee and has been in accordance with your word and your will, as we always seek to uphold those things that you would have us to do. Father, we're so grateful that you love us, thankful for the blessings you give us here at Cary, thankful for our wonderful leaders and the elders that we have and their foresight in having this day, Father, as we were able to invite our friends and family to share Jesus with them, and thankful for the success of the day, for the opportunity of fellowship that laid before us, for the wonderful food, and now for the opportunity this night that we can come together to sing more songs of praise, to open up your word, Father, and to continue to strengthen ourselves and our families as we go forward. Father, we also pray for those among us who are hurting and those who will be having surgeries, and we pray for the ministering hands that will be helping them, and we pray for speedy recoveries and that they might be back with us soon. And we continue to pray for those who are struggling with illnesses who aren't able to be here today, and we pray for them and their families, pray for their strength and courage that they might be able to return. And Father, we also pray for those who have chosen not to be here today for whatever reason within their hearts, that they continue to search to find you, Father. We pray that they might be strengthened, that we might be the encourager, perhaps the light they need to see, that they might understand they're truly loved and we want them back, but most importantly, that you need them back. Father, we thank you for Jesus, for all the blessings that come because of him. We thank you for his life, for that willful sacrifice that he gave on our behalf, for the perfect sacrificial lamb that he was. We're so grateful. And Father, we ask all these things in his most precious and wonderful name. Amen.
If you're using a book and would like to mark, our song after the lesson will be 544, number 544. And then before the lesson, we'll sing 282, number 282. Let's stand again as we sing.
All say that it has truly been a blessing to be here today. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad that you've come back. I hope your bellies are full and your eyes are heavy, but I'm going to do my best to keep you awake. I want to thank all those who prepared food, and we had so much food, it was unbelievable. We had food I don't think that even was opened. But thank you for preparing food, for the foresight, for the wonderful crowd that we had today. Such a wonderful day, wonderful blessing. Souls were restored. Trevor was added to the Lord's church. I just don't think you can, other than being here and being with each other, certainly what a truly and wonderful day that it's been. There was some consideration of going back after and eating some more after we get done, but I know you guys are tired. I know you want to go home, but I'm thankful that you've chosen to come back today. And I'm going to keep it brief, believe it or not. I know a preacher just said brief, but I am going to keep it brief. But I just want to build kind of upon what we talked about this morning and looking at the home individually, and as we talk about those things and keeping the world out of our homes and continuing to strengthen our homes and the things that we need to be aware of in the world to keep out of our homes. This afternoon, I want to talk for just a few moments on building upon that foundation. The Bible tells us in Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2, except the Lord builds the house, those that labor in vain, because of that, if they don't allow the Lord to be part of that building project. I've never built a home. I hope to one day. My parents just built a home about a year and a half ago, their retirement home out in Prescott, Arizona, is how they say it. But I can remember talking with my dad and kind of the tedious
project that it was, and selecting everything and getting the blueprints together and the right contractor and everything that you want to go within the house and all the appliances and certain little nuances and how you want things to look. And he said it wasn't an easy task. And he said, if I could do it again, I wouldn't do it again. And he said, because it's not an easy thing. But probably the biggest thing within that is having the right contractor, because he's going to guide you through the process and building the house the way that you want it to be built. But he has the knowledge, right? He has the understanding of the contracts and the license and everything that goes into building that house upon the proper foundation. And brethren, the same thing applies to us. Unless the Lord builds our house, we labor in vain to build it. Unless God is helping us and He is our general contractor and helping to place the blueprint before us, that is the Word of God, the basic information we need to build our family, unless we use, the blueprint that God gives us, we labor in vain to build our own home. I want to ask you again, as I ask you this morning, how important is your family to you? Because it should be, other than God Himself, be your pretty much number one priority. Because if it's not, then we need to adjust how we're looking at things. But if your family is as important to you as my family is, are you willing to work extremely hard to build your family in the image of God? Are you willing to put forth the time and the effort and the diligence that's required to build your house upon God's foundation that He talks about in the Bible? Even as Jesus talks about the spiritual house, the kingdom of God, of how we are to build things, He gives the parable of the two houses. One was built upon the right foundation, one was founded upon God's Word, the other was founded upon a faulty, sandy foundation. And because of that, when the trials and the storms and the temptations of life beat upon that house, the house fell quickly. Just because our houses might be prepared, because we live in an area known for hurricanes, just because maybe that house is built a code or built a spec to withstand certain things, there's no such thing as a house that is 100% hurricane proof. They build houses now down in Alabama where I was at, because that's Tornado Alley, that are more geared to handle the winds of tornadoes, but that doesn't mean they're 100% tornado proof. But they have the basic structure, the basic things they need. But that doesn't mean the trials and storms of life aren't going to beat upon our homes. But if we build it correctly in God's pattern, as David talks about, and we invite God to be part of our home when we're building it, and that we acknowledge His hand in it. I think that's really important for us to understand. When David had the initial idea to build the temple, as we go to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, as it turned out, God didn't want him to build the temple. He wanted his son to build the temple. But in that, David asked permission that he might prepare for the temple to be built. Lord, can I at least have a small part in this? But one of the things that David understood in preparing the temple to be built, he knew that God had to be in it. Because unless God was behind the project, the temple wouldn't stand how it needed to be. And there was a pattern even that David acknowledged in 1 Chronicles 28 in verse 19. How many times I've read through Exodus, and how many times I've looked at the book of Chronicles, that I missed the point that David said, though I was attempting to help the Lord build His house, I had to do it according to the pattern. So even though the temple was what God wanted it to be, God was not going to protect that temple, nor was He going to dwell in that temple unless God had a part and His pattern was used in building that temple. Brethren, the Lord is not going to come into your home uninvited. Unless you bring Him in because you want Him there, because you want Him to help build the foundation upon which your home is going to stand, the Lord will not dwell with you unless it's according to His pattern. The Lord will not dwell with you if you aren't rearing your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The Lord will not dwell with you if you allow your children to disrespect you as a parent who's supposed to guide them and bring them up. The Lord is not going to dwell in your home if you forsake your duty as a Christian in serving Him correctly. The Lord will not dwell with you if it's not according to His established pattern. God wants to be a part of your home. He wants to be the center of it, but He wants you to bid Him to come in. God wants nothing more than to be the center of where we live. As Joshua said, you can choose who you want to serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We've got to make that decision, and we've got to include God in the pattern. I know this may sound odd, but Again, the most powerful being in the universe is not going to force his way into your house. He wants to be there because you want him to be there, because you love him, because you understand what he brings to your pattern, to your home. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 describes God as a loving and all-knowing God. And God loves us enough that he gives us the home by which we can establish the pattern to rear our children, to raise our family, and to understand what a marriage is and what constitutes that marriage. Last night, we were fortunate enough to have a dinner for the married couples. And Ozzie did an outstanding job in talking about the institution of marriage and how, though we're not perfect as individuals, we're certainly compatible because of what God has designed us to be. Brethren, there's nothing that we can't do if God is in our home. There's nothing that we can't conquer nor overcome if we use the pattern that God has given us to build that home. But we've got to follow the pattern. Sometimes maybe we don't agree with the pattern. The world doesn't agree with the pattern. Between the institution of what people think marriage should be today, outside of what God has established, really we've got to acknowledge and understand through prayer and acknowledge who God is in our homes. Do your children see you acknowledging God as a part of your home? Because if not, they will pick up on it and it won't be a part of their homes. Brethren, we're only one generation away from apostasy. One generation. And if we don't teach our children the foundation and the blueprint that God has established, they will not teach their children. And they will not have godly and Christian homes. As Proverbs 3 and verse 6 says, if we acknowledge God in all our ways, he is going to make our path straight and righteous. But we've got to acknowledge him. We've got to know that he's there. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21 says, he is able exceedingly above all things to give us all those things that we ask for, but we've got to invite him in and ask for those things according to his will. You know, we often sing that song, Lord, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes. The premise of that song is that we're asking God to help us to develop our homes. Help us to build our house, Lord, upon your foundation, upon the establishment of what you want it to be. I don't know how many times I think about this in the context of really when you look at the Bible and what families are today. A lot of times we are so busy that we don't want to work in keeping our homes together. We're so busy with our education and our extracurricular activities and the sports and all these things that we run to and fro. And inherently those things aren't bad. Don't get me wrong. But brethren, when those things become our priorities over establishing the home upon which God built, then we've got a problem. When sports becomes the outlet by which we think we're going to rear our family, we've got a problem. When we focus more on everything else other than our family coming together, you know, I saw something a couple of weeks ago, and to me, it was common sense when I was growing up. Have you ever seen these Pass It On commercials? Pass It On. That's a humanistic website that they're focusing on because they want you to think that the established pattern of the home is by man's idea. But I saw a commercial the other day, it said, and it showed this family sitting around the dinner table eating a meal together. And it said, you want to try and spend some quality time together? Try having a meal together. That wasn't a choice when I was growing up. You were home at 5:30 to sit down and have a meal as a family. And one of the first questions my mother asked was, how was your day? My dad, how was your day? As a family, as an institution, brethren, we shouldn't have to be told to spend time together. Because if we're having to be told to spend time together, brethren, how much do we truly love our families? Is this not who we want to be with? Who we want to spend time with? Build it upon the established pattern. Invite God to be part of that building, but also that we've got to follow God's pattern that he gives us. If we follow that pattern and we have the mind to work that God is talking about, and if you look at the established pattern that he talks about, the temple, like the tabernacle, had been designed by God. Solomon was not given freedom to build the temple however he wanted it. God wanted it built to a specific way. And he gave specific instructions concerning that, just as he does for the pattern of the New Testament church. There's a divine pattern by which we follow that's established, and because of that, that helps us get to heaven. But if we don't follow the pattern, the building falls. This is the case with our homes. If we want to build and protect them, brethren, we've got to follow the pattern. But, brethren, we've got to have a mind to work. If you have a lazy home in relation to how you build your home, if you only put a half amount of effort into it, how long do you think that home is going to stand, physically speaking? If you just put a nail here and there, if you kind of skirt around the codes that are required to keep your house safe so it doesn't fall in on you, how long do you think that house is going to stand if it's not done and kept up to code? But you've got to put forth the work to do that. I remember several years ago, one summer, I helped a cabinet maker install cabinets into a home. I'm never doing that again. That was a lot of work. And because he thought I was this big guy, I could hold the cabinets up while he hammered them into the wall. So I got the short end of the stick. There's a lot of work that goes into building homes, and I have a lot of respect for these guys that build these homes. It's not an easy thing. I always see these roofers down in Alabama in July putting on hot tar roofs in July. And I think, man, there's no way, but somebody's got to do it. And these individuals are willing to work hard to do that. But brethren, we've got to do the same thing in our homes. We've got to have a mind to work. And brethren, it requires work. If you are a parent, you know it requires work. It is a constant effort to rear our children in the way that God wants them to go. It is a constant effort in making sure they are brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If we have to have a mind to work, brethren, you think about Nehemiah, when they were building the wall, he said they built the wall because they had a mind to work. But what happened later is they got lazy. They were focusing more upon themselves rather than building it by God's design, and the city then laid in ruins. And finally, 16 years later, as they come back to establish this, because they were so focused on their own way of life, and God said, you've got to come back to the way I want things to be established, then finally did they understand what it meant to have a mind to work. Raising and rearing godly families is not an easy thing. It's not. But He's only going to work through us to the extent that we are willing and allowing Him to work in us. God does not want you to be lazy. And a family requires work. You know, I said this morning, and I tell these young couples all the time, unless you're willing to work at it, your marriage is going to fail. Because there will be a time when you turn over and you're not going to like him very much. And there will be a time that she does something to annoy you to no end, and you think, why am I living with this woman? But that's when you look towards the institution of what God established and says, you know what? We can get through this. Because the devil wants your home to be in shambles and broken. But only if you allow it to be. We've got to build it upon his foundation and his pattern. We've also cannot allow the devil to distract us. Even the most mundane, even the most procrastinating things can happen within the spiritual work. This is what happened to the Israelites in the latter part of Ezra chapter 4 when they were hindered by their enemies for nearly 16 years, as I just said, that they got so distracted by everything else they weren't focusing on the task that God had given to them in building the temple. They were focused more on the world than they were on the spiritual. And because of that, it suffered for 16 years. How many excuses do you think they gave in relation to God wanting them to complete His task? Numerous times. Just read through the book of Haggai. But while the temple's foundation laid bare, they built their own homes, they did their own things, they did everything their own way. And because of that, God's work suffered for it. So we've got to make sure that the world doesn't distract us. You see, like the Jews, we always mean to do the spiritual work of the Lord in our homes, but now we say, you know, it's just not the time. Now's not the time. We'll do it later. And then your oldest child leaves the home. Well, maybe we need to get started now. We still got a few more kids at home. Maybe we better get this thing rolling now. But we'll start tomorrow, right? Let me ask you, how many of you started diets on January 1st? I did. But how many of us are continuing those things? It's easy for us to give up on things, right? Things get hard. Things get tough. We allow excuses to hinder us. That's life. But that's the devil's way of creeping into our homes unaware and allowing it to affect how we serve him. We cannot allow the world to distract us. The TV distracts us. The world distracts us. Friends distract us. Those that are not righteous or spiritual understand what it means to be pure and holy in the sight of God. That's because we allow those things to distract us. But brethren, we've got to put on the spiritual blinders in the world in which we live today, because we can't allow those things to affect us. But never stop serving the Lord. Never give up on Him. Why did God abandon the house and the city He had built and protected? Because the people had abandoned Him. They turned their back on Him. God had given them every blueprint and every effort and opportunity to build His temple. Build the city up, fortify the walls, build the temple, let's come back together. You learned, obviously, you were supposed to learn why you were in captivity to begin with. But you know what? They were so focused on just simply getting back, they forgot where God was. They forgot to look at who God was. And because of that, it cost them. If we wish God to stay with us in our families, we must not bank on a few good years of service, brethren. We've got to continue to serve Him no matter how difficult it gets. Don't allow the devil to defeat you. Never stop serving the Lord, no matter what Satan hurls at you, no matter what life holds in store, no matter what death-filled valleys we might walk through, no matter what difficulties might come our way. Don't allow the Lord into, or the devil into your home. In Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27, again, Jesus gives the account of the two homes. The house built upon the rock and the house built upon the sand. You know, we often sing that song, right, in VBS? The wise man builds his house upon the rock. Where's your house built? Is it built upon the foundation of the Lord? Or is it built upon shifting sand? You have to determine how you want to build your home. And I pray it's with the Lord as your contractor. These days, we are willing to do so much for our families to make them functional and stable. The question is, are you allowing God to help you build it? If not, why not? What better way than to build your home than to allow the Lord to help you build it? What better foundation to start upon? And if you haven't had the Lord in your home for a while, invite Him back in today. Invite Him back home, because He wants to be in your home, with you in your home, with you and your children in your home. Let Him back in. Invite Him back into your home. If you have a need tonight, if you're struggling within your family in that foundation and you want the Lord back in, come forward and ask Him today. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want your home to be back what it needs to be. If you haven't been the spiritual leader, perhaps you think you need to be, let us pray with you. Let us encourage you. We want your home to be a Christian home, but you've got to ask the Lord into it. And if you're here tonight and you haven't put on Christ in baptism and you want to serve Him because you want Him in your home, I encourage you to do what Trevor did today. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him, have your sins washed away by baptism, Acts 2:38. You have the opportunity as together we stand and as we sing.